Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that is said on the program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me at email preacher@eastalbertville.org. Again, that email address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. And that East Albertville, of course, is one word. In John chapter 6, we find a statement in verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" This was said by many after Jesus had taught them regarding the bread of life. If we back up to verse 53, we see that Jesus said to them, "Verily, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat this flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." We find that they are unable to understand the things that Jesus is saying. They think in literal terms of Jesus' flesh and blood. They're too carnally minded to understand the things that Jesus is saying. We don't literally eat his flesh and drink his blood, but we do eat and digest him by taking his word into our hearts. And so it was from that time many of his disciples went home, and they no longer followed him. We look at verse 66 there in John chapter 6. "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Peter made a very remarkable statement at this same time. In verse 67, Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." See, if we don't understand things at first, it's no reason to quit. And as we search the scriptures, we find a number of instances where that the will of God is particularly difficult to accomplish. And yet, nevertheless, we see the determination of faithful people who dealt with those very difficult commands. They give us strength, they give us encouragement to carry out whatever it is that God requires of us. One of those examples we find over in the book of Jonah. In that book, we find that Jonah was commanded to go and preach to the city of Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 1, begin reading in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." To go to preach to the Ninevites was obviously a hard command to Jonah. One of the reasons that may have been such is the fact that these were one of the hated enemies of the Israelites. In fact, the Ninevites were noted because of their cruelty to their captives. Jonah obviously would rather see them die. He didn't want to preach to them, because if they repented, God would be merciful to them. And that's what we find later in Jonah chapter 4 when we look at verses 2 and 3. "So he prayed to the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Now, therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." But yet still we know the story of Jonah, of how that he repents and goes and preaches to the city of Nineveh. But it was a difficult command that God had given him. Another example of a difficult command we see over in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 22, we read the story of Abraham. When I take time to read the first 18 verses of Genesis chapter 22, but in particular, let's notice verse 2. God tells to Abraham, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." And what we read in these verses is that without murmuring, without complaining, Abraham set his heart to do as God commanded him. You know, we wonder how that he may have felt when Isaac asked that question in verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." And then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Little did Isaac know that he was the burnt offering, or he was supposed to be the burnt offering. Abraham was ready to carry out God's command, thinking that God would take care of the matter. That's the faith that Abraham had, despite the fact that obviously the command that God had given him was a very difficult command to do. We find that even in some of the teachings of Jesus, that they have a degree of difficulty in them. Notice in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 38, Jesus says, "You have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." You know, not to retaliate when somebody has done you wrong, that's difficult. And yet, what does the Lord say? The Lord says we need to accept that mistreatment and not to retaliate. And so, notice as we go back on down to verse 44. "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Love your enemies? Well, that's a difficult one for sure. Pray for them? Well, those are the things that Jesus commands. Here in a very famous sermon that he preached, one of the first records that we have of Jesus' teaching in its completeness. And yet, love your enemies and pray for them. If we go back up a little bit to in chapter 5, to verse 28, Jesus said, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." So we see then that, again, another very difficult command. But the reason that we sometimes have difficulty with the commands of Jesus is that we don't fully understand some things. And what Jesus is talking about here is the fact that it is sin that causes us to be lost. It's sin, which is contrary, doing things contrary to the will of God, that will cause us to be cast into hell. And sin, then, needs to be something very serious to us, because these are the things that Jesus is teaching here. The consequences of our sin not being forgiven is eternity in hell. So that doesn't compare to anything that we might have to do without in this short life that we live in. And I'm talking short, whether our life here is 50 years, 70 years, or 90 years. This life is short compared to eternity. There's nothing that condones or does nothing that ought to be able to justify our sinning in this life that's going to cause us to spend an eternity in hell. Whether it's, as Jesus said here, whether it's an eye or whether it's a hand. Whatever it takes for us to cease from sin is going to be worth it when it comes to eternity. In Matthew 5, we read also in verse 31. Furthermore, it's been said, whosoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoso marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Well, we see then that divorcing for any reason other than sexual immorality, or as the King James says, fornication, any divorce for any other reason is sin. You know, and yet how many times as we try sometimes to teach God's law on marriage that people will respond that, well, that doesn't seem to be fair. Well, it may not seem to be fair to us, but it's nevertheless what God's word commands. Abraham could have used the same excuse that, well, you know, it just doesn't seem fair to hear the only son that I've been able to have. Now, God is asking me to offer it up as a sacrifice, and yet he's promised that from my seed, I'm going to have posterity that I can't number. It's going to be as the sand of the sea or as the stars of heaven. So a lot of things may not make sense. A lot of things we may not be able to understand. And a lot of things we may think are not fair. But we must understand that whatever God says is what we must do. We don't need to let the difficulty of the scriptures use as an excuse to not do what God says. You know, a lot of people say that the Bible is difficult to understand. Well, that may be true. And yet, a lot of things in our lives are difficult, but we don't let that stop us. You know, it's difficult to learn to ride a bicycle. It's difficult to learn to drive a car. But has that stopped many of us when we were younger from riding a bicycle and now that we're older from driving a car? Well, no, certainly it doesn't. So we need to understand that, yes, Peter made the statement that there were things that even the Apostle Paul wrote that were difficult to understand. Let's read that as we look over in the book of 2 Peter. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at verse 16. He says, as we also in all of his epistles. Well, let's go back up to verse 15. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people risk to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. So the point is, yes, there are some things that are hard to be understood. Peter said they were hard, but notice he said they were hard, not impossible to understand. So let us view these things with a challenge, and when viewed as a challenge, then the Scriptures certainly will help to be made to better sense to us. Friends, we see that our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And until then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.